The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
I'm going to let you guys carry this bad boy. It is a free-for-all Friday, so we can talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. And with that being said, we will start it off with Christian. Hello, Christian. Christian, are you there? Okay. Toke, are you there? Hello.
Yesterday you said maybe we could get a translator on that Danish interview. I can translate it when I'm done with work today if you really, really want to know about what Marco Madsen said. So that first. And then I'm just curious about, you know, the UFC. This weekend we have Benito Kinder Surprise Lopez. So what I love about this guy, he was really interesting, and I really thought that the UFC had something with him when I saw him the first time. I know he lost to Manny Bermudez, but his Morales wins were really impressive to me. So I'm just surprised that he's the +240 underdog against Mario Bautista. But maybe I just don't understand how good Mario Bautista is. So I just wanted to hear you talk about that matchup a little bit. And then again, if you really want me to translate, I can, just so you know.
All right. Thank you, sir. I mean, honestly, for Benito, I just think it's a super duper long layoff. I mean, he hasn't fought since July 2019. He's only had 3 fights in the UFC. The Morales wins were good. Beat Steven Peterson on the Contender Series. Got some decent wins on the regional scene, but just hasn't fought in 3.5 years. That's a long time to be out. And while that was happening, Mario Bautista was doing the damn thing. He is 4-2 in the UFC. Just submitted Brian Kelleher. That's not an easy feat. Beat Jay Perrin in a tough fight. His 2 losses in the UFC are to Corey Sandhagen, which he took that fight on like less than a week's notice. And then the Trevin Jones fight, he got caught. He had a great first round, then he got caught with a nasty uppercut and then got pounded out. So, I mean, even on Benito's best day, I think Batista wins this fight. But who knows? Maybe over the last 3 years, he's just been completely leveling up, and we have no idea. But that's one of the interesting fights on this card for sure. Christian, do we have you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Hey, thanks for doing this. I was wondering, kind of with Poirier and Chandler coming up, and I guess I was wondering, you know, Poirier and Chandler are obviously really good fighters, and you know, they've been competitive in the division, but it's like, I guess I'm just struggling to see where they go, because it just feels like, yeah, they could get a title shot, but I mean, I guess, and they can think they could win, but do we really think that, like, Islam's going to lose to either of them? It feels like they're just going to just get washed out, and then eventually they're just going to come back to where they are. Same with kind of Gaethje, where it's like they're just stuck, where it's like they're really good, but they're also not good enough to be champion. And I guess I was wondering, it's like, do they just kind of go through the route of just contending again, or do you think they have another avenue?
I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's one of my big issues with this division right now is that we can't get any movement. Like, Poirier's great, Chandler's great, Gaethje's great, but if we put Poirier right now against Matush Gamrot, if we put Gaethje against Fazeev, if we put Chandler against Arman Tsarukyan, I would probably bet on the three up-and-comers to beat all three of those guys. Gaethje Fazeev would be probably the tougher matchup. But I don't know. Like, they're still very good. Like, and if Volk doesn't get this title shot, I would say the winner of Poirier Chandler probably gets the next one. But especially if Chandler wins, like, I think Chandler has a better chance to beat Makhachev than Poirier does, but it's not a good chance to beat him. I just feel like Chandler's wrestling could be an interesting ploy in this whole thing, at least give Makhachev something to think about. But I mean, I think Makhachev beats both of those guys pretty easily. I just think Chandler might match up slightly better, but I'm just ready to see this new wave of guys get their opportunities. Like, it's, we just see the same guys in these title fights. It drives me nuts. Like, I'm ready to see some movement here. Let's go. All these guys have had chances at the title, and poor Benil Dariush just can't get there. It's just wild. So I don't know where they go. I mean, an impressive finish for Chandler Poirier definitely puts him in the title mix. That's for sure. They're probably there now, but I'm ready to see some of these guys, some of these vets fight some of these up and comers. Like, we're long overdue for that. Let's go to double A. Double A? Hello. Good.
Random, and it's not just because I've got nothing. Okay, maybe it is. Okay, so I was rewatching some fights the other day, as we do, and I was rewatching Tony Ferguson and Cowboy Cerrone, and I noticed a detail that I'd completely forgotten. It wasn't a main event, it wasn't a title fight, and they had let them meet for a face-off in the center of the octagon, which I thought was sort of cool because it was sort of like a fan favorite fight, and that you'd sort of expect for something like that. My question is, would you like to see that happen for fan favorite fights that aren't like sort of like main events or title fights? Like, for instance, if like Chandler and Poirier had like a little face-off at the center of the octagon before they fought. Just like a random thought. Just want to know your opinion on it. Have a good day, man. Everyone else have a good day too. Cheers.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I think they should for that fight. But I don't know. I mean, if I won't be, I will certainly not be offended if they don't do that, but I mean, it'd be cool for those two guys. Well, I'm interested to see how they are around each other during fight week with all the heat. Seems like they might have squashed some of the beef, some of it anyways, but of course they're going to go in there and try to beat the hell out of each other. And yeah, I'm sure that'll fire up the crowd. Jacob, hello.
Hey, good morning, Mike. As we speak right now, Islam Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski, they're kind of going back and forth with each other, teasing each other a little bit on Twitter about the contract. So I'm going to give you the matchmaker's hat. What fighter can be contender, champion right now? Would you like to see move up or down a weight class to fight someone else? Thank you. Have a heck of a morning, everyone.
I'll go with Max Holloway. Like, I've been saying, like, a lot of people are screaming from the rooftops, you need to see Arnold Allen fight Max Holloway. No, we don't. We don't need to see that fight. I have no interest in that fight. Like, from a stylistic perspective, I have interest. In a vacuum, I have interest. Like, 2 years from now, I have interest. But right now, I have no interest in that fight. Because Max Holloway probably beats Arnold Allen, and then we're in the same position we've been in for the last 2 years. And Jed brings it up all the time. Volkanovski hasn't cleaned out his division. Well, it's because you keep putting your top guys against Max Holloway, and he beats them. And then you have no choice but to fight him again because he's the best dude. So Holloway's my pick because I would rather see him go to 55 and just have fun fights. He doesn't need the belt. He doesn't need title fights. I just want to see him in fun scraps. The one I've been clamoring for 2 years now, give me Holloway Gaethje. I'm down for Holloway Oliveira because their first fight ended in kind of shenanigans fashion. Like Holloway Chandler, Holloway Poirier, like all these are awesome fights. Like we've seen Holloway Poirier, it was a great fight. Who would complain if they ran that one back? Holloway against any of those guys is fun. Because it's a fun fight and it frees up one of these bigger names so that a younger, hungrier, more probable, more talented than those guys get their opportunity. So, yeah, it's Max Holloway's the first name that pops to my head. Tristan, hello.
Mike. My question is this Saturday between Lemos versus Rodriguez. I mean, what happens if Lemos wins this fight and she doesn't impressively beat Marina Rodriguez? I mean, I don't know what happens. Doesn't it put like kind of a little bit of logjam in the women's strawweight division? Because, I mean, I don't know what happens next. Like, I guess you have Zhang Weili versus Carla Esparza. And depending how that fight goes, I guess is Rose will get the next title shot, I guess, regardless of who wins. I mean, Lemos is going to say, well, I mean, because we all know possibly like Jessica Andrade probably deserves a title shot because of what she's doing, but she keep going back and forth. So we don't know if she's going to fight at flyweight, women's flyweight, or back at strawweight. She keeps going back and forth. So I don't know. It's going to be like a kind of a logjam. What do you think about that, Mike? I mean, looking at Lemos's view of it, if she goes out there and dominates Marina Rodriguez. Thanks, Mike.
Probably wouldn't be ideal, but it's possible. She's definitely not getting a title shot. And even if Marina wins, the only way she gets a title shot is if Carla beats Zhang Weili. Because if Carla wins, I don't think they're going to be in any hurry to book Esparza Namajunas 3 after what we saw in their fight earlier this year. And I don't know, maybe they do. I'll play it out the way I think this is all going to play out. Man, I don't even know. Because I think Zhang Weili is going to beat Carla Esparza. I feel pretty confident in that. So I feel Zhang's going to win. I don't know. Marina, maybe she just fights Carla either way. But I feel like if Zhang wins, she's going to fight Rose again. Like, I feel like that's the fight she's going to call for. And that's the one she wants. She's got two losses against her. So, yeah, I feel like best case scenario for either of these fighters is that Marina wins and Carla wins, and then they could just run that for the belt. Other than that, I don't think either of them are getting a title shot. Lemos probably needs like another win or two after that. So, yeah, not an easy road for either, but Marina's probably got a pretty sizable head start, but she's definitely going to need Carla to win. Or she just needs to go out there and bolt Amanda Lemos. She needs to win this one impressively. She can't just go out there and win a split decision. She has to go out there and win. She needs a 49-46 or a finish or something. That puts her in a really good spot. She goes out there, wins a splitty or a 48-47. Not good for her title hopes. Let's go to Blake. What's up,
hey,
Blake?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so I'm wondering about this whole Volkanovski and Makhachev kind of like contract situations going on Twitter. I personally don't think Islam is that guy to really take a lot of these fights on shorter notice versus someone who like Volk is. Islam, throughout his career, I believe he's been in the UFC for 7 years and has had like 13 fights. So it's like an average of 2 fights a year. And if he takes this fight early on in the year, I really don't see him fighting 3 times in a year. So I'm wondering who you think out of those kind of three featherweight contenders, Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett, and Yair, who should take that spot. I know it's interesting, too, because they're planning on going to London, I believe, in later on in March, I believe. And if they put Arnold Allen in this fight in Perth with Volk before that, and you have Paddy, Molly, and Darren Till all fighting at 282, that they're really not going to have a lot of big England fan base on that card if they decide to put Arnold Allen with Volk before that. So I'm just wondering who you think will be on top of that. And also, I'm wondering where you think Derek Lewis will be if he loses to Spivak coming up on that main event. Thank you.
Lewis one's interesting. I mean, he'll be fine. They're not going to cut him. He's too big of a star, and he's a fun – he's not in any boring fights, although Sergey Spivak could make a Derek Lewis fight pretty boring. I don't know. There's fights for him. He could fight the Jairzinho Rozenstrikes of the world. Derek Lewis against anybody is going to get eyeballs on it, so it'll suck. It'll probably take him completely out of title contention. Not that I think he's in title contention now, but I think him ever fighting for the belt again is gone. But again, he's still very popular. Volk in Makhachev is interesting. Like, I've tried to reach out to multiple people. I have not gotten any response yet in terms of what's going on. Might be some gamesmanship, but this isn't like a super short notice fight. It's 4 months. You want to smell the rose a little bit, but he's still going to get 10, 11, 12 weeks to prepare for Volkanovski because the fight's not until February. It's like not even three, it's 3 months from now. So, I mean, it's a huge fight. It's the biggest fight Makhachev can get right now, like by far. Maybe, I mean, Conor obviously for the bag, but I don't think anybody's clamoring for that. Right now, with what is available and what is realistic, this is the biggest fight he can get. So, he's probably going to beat Volkanovski. So, if I'm him, like, what are you waiting for? Go do it. You're the one that, and here's the thing, he called him out. It wasn't like Volkanovski was like, come on, man, sign the contract, blah, blah, blah. Makhachev, in public, in front of the world, called this man out and did a stare down with him and said he'll do it in Australia. I like Volk's tweet. I didn't see the rest of it, but I liked Volk's tweet. Are you a man of your word? Habib? I mean, that's what I would – if Beneil Dariush had just said that in his post-fight speech, he'd be in a much better spot instead of saying, I'll fight 10 dudes. I'll fight 10 guys. You don't say that. You'd be like, hey, remember Islam? Habib's a man of his word. You said you would fight me. Are you a man of yours? And that's all that Volkanovski's asking right now. So if Volk ends up defending the featherweight title, it's probably not Arnold Allen. I don't know. I mean, Volk's fighting in Perth. He's either defending the featherweight title or he's fighting Makhachev. And I feel like Arnold Allen will be the odd man out if that happens. Because I think you're right. I think they would rather have Arnold on the UK card, whenever that is, whether it's March or April, whenever that date ends up being. But I think the best case scenario for everybody is that Makhachev and Volk fight, and then Allen fights Emmett or Yair for the interim title. I think Allen should definitely be in the interim title mix, because and you should do that fight in the UK. 100%. And if Volk has to defend the featherweight title, I don't know. They'll probably call Yair first just because he's the bigger name of the three. But maybe they won't. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I feel like we're going to get Makhachev Volk. It's such a big fight. And you got to do it now. Otherwise, it's going to lose its luster. People are on the fence with it. A lot of people are in on it. But I think if we delay this anymore, it's going to be it's going to lose interest.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Viking, hello.
Hello, Mike. Just let me tell you one thing about Josh Thompson, that you have his attention, because I was listening to his podcast and he just used your name indirectly. So you got it. And my question is, after 1 year from now, which champion between lightweight and welterweight will have tougher opponents to defend a strap, and which welterweight do you think will be the champion after 1 year from now? Thank you, Mike. You rock. King.
Thanks, man. It's a good question. It's lightweight. It's definitely lightweight. The answer to that question is always going to be lightweight. I get where you're coming from in other stances because of like Khamzat and Rakhmonov and those two guys, but it's lightweight. Lightweight's always going to be the answer to that question. So there's just so many killers coming up. You still have the names that we mentioned with the Gaethjes, the Poiriers, and the Chandlers. And then we got the Sarukyans, the Izabagulovs. Now we got the Grant Dawsons. We got the Jalen Turners. There's just more of them at 55. There's a couple of straight killers at 70, but there's like 5, 6, 7 lightweights right now that can do work and get up to that title fight. That's for sure. And I haven't listened to Josh's show. I don't listen to Josh's show, but I'll go and check it out. I'll go check out the clip. I made the mistake of listening to the last one, and it made me even angrier, because he said less and doubled down and still didn't understand why people were pissed at him. But maybe it's indirect to me. Maybe it's indirect to Helwani. Because, I mean, Ariel said what he said a little bit nicer than the way I said my thing, because I was livid. But I also don't want to, like, I just don't want to consume myself with it, because I don't want to punch down in this situation. Like, I respect Josh Thompson as a fighter. Like, this dude went in there and stepped in a cage and fought and had a great and had a solid career. Like, I respect the hell out of that guy for that. But just some of the things he says just makes no sense. To say you're not in the media is just dumb. It's wrong. You are in the media. You're on the broadcast. John Anik is in the media. He's not a journalist, but he's in the media. He's in the MMA media. So is John McCarthy. And any other fighter that is on those broadcasts. Michael Bisping is in the media. They're all in the media. They're just not journalists. That's just it's a different thing. You're one of us, bro. One of us. One of us. And I knew, like, and I know he's just got to keep talking about it because that's how Josh is. He just wants people to talk about him. He wants people to come on this show and mention Josh's name. He wants people to write into Ariel's On the Nose segment and ask about Josh Thompson. Like, he's getting exactly what he wants. Even if he's getting a negative reaction, he's getting exactly what he wants. Because that's what this whole thing was all about for him. It was all about Josh Thompson. It was all about his podcast. It wasn't about the card or the fighters. It was about him. As most things are when he says dumb things. And you're just a you are in the media, man. I hate to tell you. Like, you have no problem dumping on the UFC, but you'll never dump on Bellator. Like, that's okay. They pay you. You work for them. I can dump on whoever I want in an honest way. I'm not just going to be a negative Nancy about it, but if Bellator's not doing something well, and you've heard on this show many times that I feel like there's a lot of things they're not doing well from a promotional side, I'm going to say it. If a UFC card isn't great, I'm going to say that too. If it's awesome, I'm going to say that. If Bellator is a better card than a UFC card that weekend, I'll tell you that. Like, that's how it works. And I don't care if Josh talks about me or not. Like, I prefer he doesn't, if we're being honest. Like, if he never says my name, I'm totally cool with that. I don't want him saying my name. I just want Josh to shut the frig up about this whole thing. Just admit you're wrong, say you're sorry, and move on. Which is, like, why I wanted to talk to him in the first place. This is why I wanted to do a to do an interview or do something with him so we could just be done with all of this. Because this whole build to December 31st is going to be the Josh Thompson show. Oh, it's going to be me versus the media. Look what I've done. Look at me wave my flag. I'm Josh Thompson. Watch my show. Yada, yada, yada. So self-absorbing. It drives me nuts. And see, now you got me off on a tangent about this guy who's getting exactly what he wants. This is feeding his ego right now. He's getting full. He's getting full right now. I mean, he's full of himself, but he's getting even more full. All right. This is going to be a... This might be a short show. What is that? Ooh, interesting. Well, let me check something out real quick. Hang on. Bear with me. Hold on 1 second. See, this is the thing. When you do this show and there's potential news, you got to try to double up on this stuff. So you're getting a little peek behind the curtain, if you will. So maybe I'll have an answer for you. I don't know. All right, Matt Ravelli, take us home. I have to dig up some more yard. And I mean, I got two people. What's up, Matt?
Is if D-Rod actually goes out and wins this weekend, what do you do with Neil Magny? Because I feel like he's just kind of floating there in the ether after that.
What do you do with Neil Magny if he loses?
Yeah, that's what I have. Because to me, I feel like if he loses, I mean, that's a pretty big loss, especially with D-Rod. I mean, to me, that's almost like, I mean, real gatekeeper status at that point.
Yeah, I mean, he probably stays where he's at, if we're being honest. He is a gatekeeper. He's a really good one. And I don't love using that word all that often, so sometimes I'll sub out like litmus test. But Neil Magny is, I don't know, Neil Magny's probably like a top 10 litmus test right now. Like, if you can beat Neil Magny, you're probably one of the 10 best fighters in your division. Maybe it bumps him back to like a top 15 guy. I don't know. To be like a top 15 litmus test. But yeah, I mean, Neil's kind of been in that spot most of his career where he's the test. He's the test to see how good you really are. That's why they throw him in there with Rachmaninoff and some of these other guys that he's fought. So yeah, it's probably going to be something like that. A young, hungry whippersnapper. And just see how good he is. And Neil's going to knock a few of them off, and some of them are going to knock Neil off. But I like that fight. I think D-Rod can win that fight for sure. I think D-Rod's the better striker, the better boxer. Magny's got length. Magny can clinch and wrestle, but D-Rod's a good defensive wrestler. So, yeah, I lean D-Rod, but it's a fight Magny can win. Four-ounce sniper, hello. All right. How about Emilio? Emilio, do we have you?
Yes, you do. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a while since I was last on the show. I hope that everything is good. I have been keeping up with all the coverage, all the other podcasts, but just haven't had the time to tune in to the one and only heck of a morning, but it's good to be back. My question is regarding next week, the Dan Hooker versus Claudio Puelles fight. I mean, I gotta admit that I haven't really done a lot of research on Mr. Poyas, but I'm pretty high on the guy over his past couple of performances, or ever since he got knocked down. I think it was in the Ultimate Fighter. But I don't know. I feel like this fight is going, it's a bit under the radar. It's flying a little bit under the radar. So I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it and on Mr. Claudio Poyas' potential or ceiling in this stacked lightweight division. That's about it, Mike. Thanks so much for everything you do. Have a heck of a morning this Friday and a heck of a start to your weekend. Peace out.
Thanks, buddy. No, I like that fight. It's a good fight. Claudio deserves a step up, and he's getting one with Dan Hooker. So he gets a main card slot. UFC obviously sees something in him. They're willing to give him this test. He's going to get one. Hooker has advantages on the feet, but if this fight hits the mat, Poyas is nasty down there. The leg locks and knee bars, he's very solid. He's won 5 in a row. This guy's good. He is probably the most under-the-radar guy in this entire division. So they're giving him a shot. It's going to be a big night for 155 because we've got, obviously, the Poirier-Chandler fight. We got Moicano, Brad Riddell. We got Matt Frivola, Atman Azaitar on that card. So we get a bunch of lightweight fights. So we'll see what happens. But I like the matchup. I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect matchmaking. Let's go to Steven Ramirez, and then we'll go to Terrence, and then I got to get out of here. Sorry for the short show, but it's been a day, and it continues to be a day. Steven, what's up? I can't hear you. I can hear me more than you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was saying I have to quit my job. That we have to join more of these. No, I just wanted your thoughts. I don't know if you probably mentioned it or not. We need to talk about the worst division right now, which is the heavyweight division. There's a couple of things, you know. I don't know if maybe you have any insight regards to Stipe. Did Stipe quietly retired? And then the whole thing, is it confirmed regards to maybe March with Francis and John Jones? I mean, also another thing is we saw yesterday, Francis just put out, he's 293 pounds at this point, and Poirier Lee still lifted him up. I don't understand how that was possible, but it's just wanted to get your thoughts on the heavyweight division. What a mess. Nobody's stepping up to the plate. And anything on Stipe, Francis, and Jones?
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. I've been telling you this whole thing. Been laying it all out for you. The longer we went into 2022, the less likely I thought we were going to see this Jones-Stipe fight. I know there was like one last glimmer of hope that maybe we could get it done. I hated the idea to begin with, and they couldn't get it done. And it seems like it's a financial thing. I wouldn't say, and like I've been telling you guys for a while, Ngannou wants to fight in March. That makes sense. Eric Nixick, I did the interview with him a couple months ago. He said the same thing. Fighting in December, impossible. But February, March, April, that seems like the right timeline. And I know for a fact that the UFC reached out to Francis Ngannou's team and basically said, hey, realistically, when do you think Francis can fight? And his team came together and they said, March seems right. And they were like, okay, I like that. And everybody wants John. UFC wants it. Ngannou wants it. Team wants it. Coaches want it. Managers want it. Everybody wants it. John wants it too. So that's why I didn't like the Stipe fight. Because, like, we're right there. What are we doing here? Why would we waste Jones on Stipe when we could get the fight that we want in the first place 3 months later? So to say it's confirmed would be just not true. Because when it comes to John Jones, nothing is seemingly ever confirmed until he actually gets into the cage. And Francis still has contract stuff to work out with the UFC. So this is what everybody wants. It's not done, but I would say March 4th would be the target if we can get it all done. But it's not done. I don't even know if like formal offers have gone out or anything like that. I have no idea. But that's where everybody's targeting. Seems like that's where everybody wants is March. And if you've been listening to the show every day the last couple months, I sound like a broken record. As far as Stipe goes, I also told you, if he doesn't take this fight December 10th, I would not be stunned if we don't see him fight again. He doesn't need to fight. He ain't fighting Curtis Blaydes. He's not fighting Tommy Aspinall. He's fighting Ngannou or Jones. That's it. And if he didn't take this fight December 10th against Jones, that means the UFC doesn't likely see the value in him as he sees in himself, which means he doesn't need to fight. Like, I'm sure he's got a bunch of money in the bank account. He's a full-time firefighter, family man, husband, dad, all that stuff. He's loving life. Fighting just disturbs that. But you can't say no to a John Jones fight or a trilogy fight with Ngannou for the title. I get that, but I don't think anything else gets him interested. All right, Terrence, hello. We'll take two more, and then I have to go because I have to try to find this stupid water valve that I have to dig out in my front yard. Terrence,
that sounds horrible. Your artwork sounds horrible.
It's terrible. It sucks. It sucks.
So I was calling random Freestyle Friday. So I was thinking about, like, Brock Lesnar. I know he's in wrestling now, but, like, he's the main reason a lot of people got into the sport back in the day. So he came in. He was, I believe he was 1-0, if I'm not mistaken. Before he got a title shot, he was 2-1 and 1-1 in the UFC. Just wondering if you think there will be somebody else that will come in like him, like with so little experience, but wind up getting like a title shot and like making it to the top or even close to that. Only thing I can think of if they fast track Bo and like give him a top 15 and then like use it as an excuse to give him a top 10 if he wins that. And then from there, title shot. I know we have Yuri. He had a lot of experience, but he came in, I believe he was 2-0 or 3-0 before he got a title shot, and then he won a belt. And then you also have Pereira has the chance of doing something similar. But Do you see anybody out there that maybe people aren't talking about that we don't know about that could possibly come in and set the MMA world on storm? On fire, rather, in regards to everything. So that's all I got for you. Thank you.
I mean, you probably said it. Bo Nickel's probably the best chance. And the only other name I can think of, which I'll be stunned if it happens, is if Kayla Harrison comes to the UFC, she might have one fight and get a title fight, or she just gets an immediate title shot. But I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody really out there that it would have to be like a Brock Lesnar type, where they came in as a star from another sport, or I don't know. Like, I think if, like, I hate to bring this name up, but I think if Greg Hardy went out there and just won his first three or four fights, they would have given him a title shot. Because he was a star in another sport. He's not a great person, but people know who he is. So if we get another, like, pro wrestler who comes over, or a big football player who comes over, we could see something like that. But I would say Bo is probably your best shot at it at this point. Abzualia, hello.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm there. What's up? What's up?
What's going on?
About 281 this upcoming next week. What are your thoughts on, I should say, Dustin Poirier versus Michael Chandler? And what direction do you see happening depending on who wins, and how will it impact the lightweight division? Thanks, man.
It's a good fight. I think Poirier wins, but I don't know. It's just a great fight. I think it'll be one of our top five fights of the year at the end of the year. Where they go, I don't know, man. It's tough to say. It's tough to say. If Makhachev Volk fight, I mean, who knows? I don't think Poirier gets a title fight. I think if Chandler wins, he could. But I don't know. Either of these guys against Beneil would be pretty friggin' awesome if we have no other options. But I have no idea what they're going to do. I just hope that whatever it is, we can just move this division forward. But the fight's going to be great. Fight's going to be great. I can't wait for it. All right, King Zab, final caller. King Zab, you're muted.
Yeah. Hello?
I got you. What's up?
Have you heard about the Ryzen Bellator? No, yeah, the Ryzen Bellator, you know, corporation in December, in the new year. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it, yes.
The lack of media presence and the lack of, you know, other MMA, you know, newscasts on YouTube and social media haven't talked about two large MMA promotions coming together to show, you know, to bring in their best fighters to see who truly has the best fighters outside of, you know, the UFC.
Okay, what are you trying to say?
What's the reason why, you know, other MMA, you know, news broadcasts haven't talked about it as much?
Because it's in December. We're 3 months away. Like, it's coming up, but we have other things that are before it. We all talked about it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Everybody did. When the announcement came out there, we were like, holy shit, this is awesome. This is great. But to say, like, what are we supposed to do? Just ignore that all these other events are happening? Like, what are we supposed to do? Zap.
Yeah?
Yeah, what were we saying? You're mumbled up. We're talking about it. Like, we're excited about it. It's a great card. It's cool. I can't wait for December 31st. And when we get closer, we will talk about it. That's cool. Like, we will definitely talk
about
it.
That's cool. That's all right.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all right. That's it, yeah.
All right, there we go. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to put it? Should I have a countdown on my wall to this card? Come on. Look, the card rules. Like, no one said anything bad about it. Like, this is what this whole Josh Thompson thing, this is why this whole thing annoys me to no end. Nobody said a bad thing about it. Everybody talked about it. Everybody wrote about it. Everybody tweeted about it when the announcement came out. We were all excited. No one said this is stupid. We all said it rules. And then all of a sudden it comes out to this whole thing. How are you going to cover this? Blah, 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 blah. You should promote this, blah, blah, blah. It's great. We talked about it on BTL the last couple of weeks. It's fantastic. It's Ryzen rules. I love it. We're going to see these guys be able to do freaking soccer kicks. It's going to be amazing. Here's the thing. Love the card. But the fact that we're getting the tape delay bullshit makes me upset. It annoys me. Why are we doing this? It's 2022. Stop with the tape delay stuff. Like, some people are going to... Hopefully we can get, like, the Ryzen feed. But for, like, the American feed, we have to wait till 8 p.m. when the card's over and done with and we already know everything that happened. Come on, man. Look, the card's great. No one has said a bad thing about it. Like, what is this whole... Like, that's why, like the whole Josh Thompson thing, like, fired me up. Because you act like no one talked about it, and we all talked about it. But we're not going to just sit there and, like, put all of our attention on this card when it's 6 weeks away. And 6 weeks from now, when we're knocking on the door of it, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to do shows, and we're going to do interviews with these fighters. Because we always do. We always do. And the co-promotion's awesome. No one has said a single negative thing about it. Nobody. Nobody in the media space. Maybe a fan or two is like, who the F is this guy with the Conor meme? But nobody has said anything bad about it. We all love it. We all like it. And if it was this week, we'd be talking about it ad nauseum. But guess what? It's not this week. It's December 31st. And guess what? Bellator has two other massive cards coming up before that that they're not even promoting right now. And you want to talk about December 31st? What are we doing here? Why is Usman Nurmagomedov's lightweight title shot not being plastered all over their social media? Khabib Nurmagomedov is like 2 weeks away from being the coach of the lightweight champion in the UFC and in Bellator. And nobody's promoting that. I am. I'm the one talking about it. Where's the promo videos? Where's the countdown videos? Where's Khabib talking about his boy about to become the lightweight champion? Because guess what? He's going to wash Patricky Pitbull in Chicago. And he's going to win the title. Did you know that Corey Anderson and Vadim Nemkov are fighting this month? No, you didn't. Unless you listen to this show. Did you know that Rafion Stotts and Danny Sabatello still has to happen? Oh, yeah. They promoted that one 2 months ago for a fight in December. And they did face-to-face interviews with 47 different media spaces. This is my issue. Get it together. I understand we have a big card on December 31st, but you can't neglect the other ones. Let's be honest, there's better storylines when it comes to actual fights. Khabib is one of the biggest names in the sport. He's attached to your next events, and we're not talking about it. We could finally end this light heavyweight Grand Prix that it seems to be going on for the amount of time it gets from one Summer Olympics to the next. Let's focus on these things first, and then we'll get into the Bellator versus Ryzen thing. We have other business to attend to. That's all. And again, let me just say this for the 8,000th time. Nobody has said anything bad about it. We all wrote about it. Go to MMAfighting.com. We wrote about it as soon as we got the announcements. We've talked about it on multiple shows. What else do you want us to do? Must be Thompson's producer or something. All right, I have to go, unfortunately. You guys are awesome. By the way, AK's here. Happy birthday to Alexander K. Lee. And this is not part of the bit. This is not part of the bit. This is the real thing. Happy birthday, AK. You know what? I'm going to take these last two, and then I got to go. Rips and Picks and Crypto, and then I have to go. Rips and Picks, hello.
What's up, Mike? How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I just joined a minute ago, so really I was just curious about this Bellator Ryzen card, you know, if you guys were going to talk about it anytime. No, I'm totally playing. To end this on a good note here for Friday, one fight I feel like is going under the radar here is Grant Dawson and Mark Madsen. I mean, Madsen's undefeated. Grant Dawson hasn't lost in the UFC. Sure, he had a draw, but just curious on your thoughts for that fight. Heck of a morning to you.
Thanks, man. I love the fight. It's the – let me just pull up the card real quick. It is the third most interesting fight on the card. Main event, co-main event, and then, yeah, Dawson Madsen is the third most interesting fight on the card. This is a three-fight card. Like, the other fights aren't horrible, but if you're like, Mike, which fights are you definitely going to watch? It's those three. I will watch those three. Like, those are the ones I would definitely tune in for. The rest of the fights are going to be fine. Like, the lineup itself, like, matchup for matchup, like, there's going to be some fun fights. The problem is there are no stakes. Like, zero. Zero stakes. Main event, there's some. But I still think, like, Marino Rodriguez is going to need close to a miracle to get a title shot. Like, the co-main event's fun, but there's no big stakes there. And I like stakes, you know? Not just to eat, but... You know what I mean? Like, I want to see these fights matter more than just getting a second paycheck. Like, this leads to something. And we have three of those fights. We have the main event, co-main event. There's not a ton of stakes, but at least there's something. There's ranking stuff. And we have essentially the same thing with the Dawson-Madsen fight. Madsen's 12-0, hasn't lost. Hasn't been all that thrilling in there either, if we're being honest. And our man Toke was telling us about an interview saying, like, the UFC pulled him aside and said, dude, you got to go out there and be decisive. Like, you got to win decisively. You can't just go out there and grind out split decisions. You got to go out there and do the thing. You can't be going to splitties with Clay Guida. You can't fight from behind against Vince Pichel. You got to go out there and win. The things that you're hollering for, you got to earn them. It's going to be an interesting fight. Do I think it's going to be the most exciting matchup of all time? No. But if you're a fan of, like, a grueling style, wrestling, scrambles, defense, cage work, it's going to be a grueling fight. I'm going to be, like, it's one of those fights where I feel like I'm going to be exhausted when it's over. But we're going to see. We're going to see who's the real. Because this one's huge for both guys, especially in this division. Grant, I have a lot of... I've been hyped on Grant Dawson for like 6 years now. And this is the one that gets him over the hump. It's very hard to crack the top 15 in this division. And I feel like if Grant Dawson beats Mark Madsen, he will have a ranking next to his name. I believe he's ranked in our rankings. Pretty sure he is. But I love that fight. I can't wait for it. Crypto, take us home.
So, Mike, first of all, I don't know if you heard, but Ryzen and Bellator are having an event at the end of next month. Just wondering if
I need to promote it.
Yeah, that's my question, actually. Are you going to promote the event? So, no, just kidding, Mike. Sorry, I just had to. No, Mike, I actually have a completely different question. And I don't know if it's been asked because I'm so confused by this change in time because in Sweden, we moved our clocks a week ago, and I connected very late. But have you talked about the fight that was announced between Guram and Moises for UFC Brazil?
We haven't. We just confirmed that one. I think we put it out there yesterday.
Yeah, in that case, Mike, I was just wondering, I would like to get your thoughts on that fight. Because I kind of feel bad for Guram. I'm not sure that he lost his previous fight, but this also is an amazing opportunity for Moises. So I would just like you to elaborate on that fight and your thoughts, especially for Guram. Let's say if Guram wins, where do we go with him in that case? Thanks, Mike.
It's a great fight. Thiago Moises is an underrated guy. a lot of skills. He's been in there with some heavy hitters. Very solid hand. I like the matchup. I favor Guram in that one. Let me see if they actually have betting odds for this one. I mean, it's a while away. Let's see. Are we there yet? No, I'm not seeing it. I'm picking Guram to win. I think he's a little grimier. I think he's longer. A little less mileage on him, if you will. And listen, the Izmagulov fight, you can make a strong case that he won, and that's not an easy fight. That's a very tough fight, and he looked pretty good in it. He has not had an easy road. I mean, Gamrot to that dude, sheesh. And now going on enemy territory to fight Thiago Moises. I give credit to Guram. Definitely give credit to him. Good stuff. But I love the fight. That's January, so hopefully it all comes together. But yeah, I like the matchup. It's good for both guys. And I think it's a good name for Guram. So if he wins, it gets him sort of back to where he was before the Izmagulov fight. But he looked great in that fight. That fight was awesome. And everyone knew it was going to be awesome because when we broke that one, everyone went bananas for it. So yeah, that'll be a good one. All right, I got to go, everybody. Thank you very much. Sorry for the late start. Make sure you tune into Bellator versus Ryzen, December 31st, ringing the new year with some face punching and some soccer kicks. Get ready. Excellent co-promotion, Bellator versus Ryzen. Agent McKee and Ryzen rules, everybody. It's going down. But before that, we have UFC Vegas 64 on Saturday. We're on the road to UFC 281 at MSG. I feel like some good things are going to be coming your way from the team at MMA Fighting when it comes to that event. You might know what I'm talking about, but official announcement coming next week, so get excited. And that's it. Preview show coming up, 3 p.m. Eastern. I believe it's myself, the birthday boy, AK, and Shaheen Al-Shadi to talk all things UFC Vegas 64. So join us. We'll see you then. Have a great rest of your Friday, and as always, have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.